I don't care anymore. I don't care. I don't. I don't. I farted in a baby's face. I was at a little red light in New York waiting to cross the street. I looked around. Nobody's there. I cut a fart. I don't know where a lady comes up with a baby in the baby carriage, parks the baby's face right in my ass cheeks. And it was one of those new baby carriages where the baby's sitting up like a factory manager looking over the floor. Right in its face. Laughing at the mother's face as I was doing it. She was so mad, which made it even funnier to me for some reason. She was like, really? In a child's face? And the sound was amazing. First of all, I had tight underwear on. Have you ever farted with tight underwear and tight jeans? You fart from here, and then the bubbles go up. It's like a little army. You can feel them. Oompa. Do-do-do. And they hit the underwear elastic like a minute later. I played jazz hits from the 80s out of my ass.
You're listening to Cobras and Fire, a Pantheon podcast hosted by two men who have never encountered a mirror they didn't enjoy. LC Fox and Baco.
You can see it in a clear blue sky. You can see it in a woman's eye. You can hear it in your baby's cry. You can hear it in your lover's sighs. You can touch it in a grain of sand. Yeah, hold it right there in the palm of your hand. Feel it round your ear.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined by the time-delayed LC Fox. LC, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I've fell back and fell forward, and I'm in perfect sync.
Mm.
How are
you? Yeah, I'm busy resetting clocks, as you know. It's daylight savings, so just a reminder, everybody fall forward, you know, and spring back here coming March 13th, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I usually... you know, twice a year, I reserve at least an hour and a half of me reprogramming my clocks. It's very challenging for me to do all
you,
that.
You put it on your calendar so it pops up mm-hmm. as a reminder. You need...
I do.
I'm going to have to miss church, you know, twice a year because of this deer.
And then I have 50 other excuses, too, for the year.
Yeah, you know, I never run out of them.
No.
Hey, did you happen to watch Midnight Mass on Netflix?
No.
Okay.
Is that a, what is it?
It's a series. It's like a 7-episode thing. I think it was kind of dropped in October because of that kind of spooky, you know, Halloween vibe to it. This is not a spoiler, but, you know, I got to tell you, it's been a long time since I've gone to church on a regular basis, you know, literally since I got confirmed. For what it's worth, I go with my mom when we're in the same state because she asks me and I just say yes.
Sure.
But other than that, I just, you know, there really hasn't been too many opportunities, like weddings and shit. That's really about it. Midnight Mass really was traumatic for me in one sense. The church music and the performing of the music was so spot on. Plus, it wasn't like short. When they started, they did it like you were in church. You were hearing it from the beginning to the end, and you had to sit there. And it was the only thing that was different was that it might have been closer to in key than what you would hear in your standard Lutheran church, but... It was, you know, I had to go see a therapist. It was a lot just a lot of repressed, you know, abuse. So kudos to the people who made that show. That was very fucking realistic. A short review. It's worth watching, but be prepared. The first three episodes are going to drag. And then it really is about three episodes worth of... It could be done in three episodes. They just drag a lot of the shit out, but the good parts are really good. Anyway, Midnight Mass on Netflix. That's this cool. week's pick. Llamageddon already has at least 5 new views because of last my recommendation. So I'm looking to get those guys on the show.
Excellent. Yeah.
I want the llama though.
Understood. I mean, both of our homes have water stained ceilings as well as is what was in. Yeah. So we got that in common. And yeah, the other thing I've heard about Netflix is, I don't know if this happened with you at work, but just from pop culture check real quick, was every single person one weekend came in on a Monday and said, dude, you have to watch Squid Games.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you too?
It's Squid Game, by the way.
So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely blew up. I watched the trailer, saw it was, I don't know, look, maybe it's better. I just haven't given it time. It doesn't look like something I would like. Even when people describe it, it sounds like, you know, this sounds like, I don't know, like The Purge or other things that I've seen that I didn't really get that into. So,
well, I like The Running Man. Sounds like that.
I know what that movie's about. So that's a great example, but I didn't see that one back. I've never seen The Running Man, the Schwarzenegger movie. What's the other one with Jennifer Lawrence?
Hunger Games.
That was the callback I was trying to get. But
okay. Fair enough. Just saying that I haven't heard of Midnight Mass. That's the only thing I've heard. You have to see this, man. But you know.
Yeah, it did not have the pop culture effect of Squid Game. That's for sure.
Right. And it's probably because its drip is whack.
Yeah, exactly. Just whack drip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of Halloween costumes, I understand, were Squid Game characters, but, you know.
At my work, too. I'm like, what the hell are you? They're like, oh, dude, you haven't seen this? It came out 3 weeks ago. You should know every single character. But, yeah, the entire section of the company was dressed in Squid Game theme. So, okay, anyway.
Yeah, anyway. I was actually talking about people going out to Halloween parties. The people that dress up for work are a little, it depends what the costume is, but I don't know. That's a bit much.
That's kind of required. It's required, you know. Mm. It's not, you know, they can't mandate it, but you're kind of a, you know, kind of a stick in the mud. If you don't, you could actually dress up. I should dress up as a stick in the mud next time for Halloween. Actually,
when it comes to mandates like that, I'm a firm believer in I don't know, what's a fancy word for clothes. Like haberdashery.
Attire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Attire freedom. I do not need to be told what to wear, or anything at all. That's all I'm going to say.
So you're going to be protesting.
Yeah.
Your Halloween outfits. That's your whole thing. Do not require me.
I'm not a stick in the mud when it comes to Halloween, as you know.
Oh, no.
Just grandiose costumes at work. Anything that requires face paint or a mask.
God, no. No,
or a
no,
cape.
No.
Anything flowing is just too much. And, you know, I can't remember what our delivery driver wore the laminate for the band that he works with. And he said, I'm going as a, and he had to explain it to everybody. You know what I mean? It's just like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. You know, I get it. You're going as your fucking self. You know, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's very difficult in most conversations. It's an odd thing, dressing up for Halloween. And plus, like, you're still doing work, so you have to have, like, serious, like, you go to meetings and stuff like that, and you're presenting, or you have to have a sit-down with your coworker, and you have to discipline them, and you're dressed up as fucking Fred Flintstone or something like that. It's like, it just doesn't work. Enough.
You see that on your article, I wouldn't have dressed up if I'd known I was getting laid off, and it's a guy dressed as, like, Darth Maul holding a box. That would be awkward, huh? Although maybe it's a way to ensure that you're not going to get fired that day.
That's right.
You can't fire me dressed as Gandalf, you know what I mean?
Right. It's against, you know, just all principles. But anyway,
okay.
What you got?
Hey, man, I got like a bit of an old man moment to share with you. As you like to say, I'm super, super old, way older than you, even though our pictures are in the same yearbook. But that said, this definitely is one of those moments where you go, dear God, I'm going to die. I had basically just gotten out of the shower one morning, just getting ready for work, and I was basically half dressed. Paint the picture for the ladies in the
what half? What half is what I'm like
middle.
do you just use the towel on your head and let it all hang out in the bottom? Yeah, is that what your half dressed is?
Parading around, making sure the windows are, you know, open and everything. Yeah, so, you know, I walk into the living room. My wife is just kind of having a cup of coffee and watching TV. And, you know, as I'm kind of like picking through the clothes I'm about to put on, for those that don't know, I have pretty bad allergies. And, when I skip a day of my medication, it's pretty obvious pretty quick that I forgot. Anyway, it's just seasonal shit where I sneeze a lot when I don't
sure.
When I don't medicate.
It's good that you have a lot of cats. It's good that you have a lot of cats then too. That's probably good for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it does wonders for it. Regardless of the cause, though, that's just something that's just the reality of my day to day life.
Sure,
it's important to this story. Is all the sneezing. So I'm pulling it up, and I go into one of my moments where I'm about to sneeze, and I sneeze just super hard. My back seizes up because I just sneeze so hard. And at the same time, I'm experiencing this pain, have another sneeze coming, a fart just blasts out the backside. So, and my wife's watching this, and of course, I'm in pain. You know, and I'm like, you know, it's like my back hurts. I just blapped, and I still have more sneezing to do. But at the same time, I think it's funny too. She's laughing, and I start laughing, and then I start sneezing, and it's just like, I don't. I think I had to like lay down on the floor and stretch for about 10 minutes just to be able to put my pants on. Jesus sure. Christ.
So you were naked at this happening too?
Well, no, like I said, I had my underwear on. That was about it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a shirt at that point. I don't recall specifically, but I was in the process of getting dressed. So,
can I do a quick recap of your experience?
Yeah, go for it.
Achoo! Is that pretty good?
Yeah, there's more sneezing though.
More than one?
Oh yeah,
it was down.
Four or five. The first one took out the back, so I got the sneeze, the pain, like the sneeze, fart, sneeze. It was just ridiculous. And it's just like, this is me now.
When you throw your back out, it's never anything amazing. Like, there's no great story with it.
Right.
I was lifting
a car off a woman who was trapped from a burning fire, and I held through it. But since then, I've had kind of lower back pain.
Yeah. I should use more, you know, lift from the legs, is what they say.
Yeah.
And no, I've done the same thing. I had this like just massive like, pachoo, like that, and I like snap back, and like it was like this like rocket, like a thousand, like the pressure of just this amazing sneeze, and I had like whoosh, I had like whiplash and everything, and I threw my back out. It was bad for a couple of days, and I was almost the same thing. I know I didn't fart at the same time. I don't remember that being the bonus. I was actually always told that if you sneeze and fart at the same time, you will die. That's what I've
felt like it. That's for sure.
The two that it's actually almost, I think it's actually physically impossible the exact second to do the same, or you'll blow your ass out and your and your face will, your head will explode.
Is that the same people who say like if you fall in your dream and you actually hit ground, you're actually dead? Like
it's
wake
the same people.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the same society.
The same society. Nice.
Yeah.
But anyway, dream fart society.
But when you have it, you're just like, it's like, am I this? Like we've talked about, are we this fragile as podcasters? It may be, by the way, this is kind of, we have so many like similar things that have happened to us. Maybe this was the universe putting us together. Is like they have this big plan. It's like the people that sneeze and throw their back outs, fall downstairs and break their wrists and ankles. What other terrible like just like physical things have we had? Like
God, there's been at least one of the one I'm
car laundry problems.
Oh,
like
that's right. The washing
problems.
Machines stopped on the same weekend.
All these things are. Yes, we are connected in the universe this way.
We're symbiotic beings.
Yes, exactly. So I'll give you fair warning if I have some kind of if I shit my pants at work tomorrow. I'll say, dude, bring some wipes.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, keep an extra pair of drawers in your drawer.
Asking for something. while I'm asking for nothing. Is it gonna change? Hurts me in a loving kind of way. I'ma celebrate. Yeah. It's time to rock this motherfucker, cause I'm always out of style. Never change my style, cause my style is kind of fresh. You bitches asking for a sound check. Check 1, 2, bitch. You barely touched the ground, yeah. Choked up on your bounce game. Coming down the mountain. Copycat, you lucky that I let you hang around me. Check 3, 4, bitch. Get out there on the bounty. In the war zone. Got these campers all around me. We should be on the same team. On the motherfucking same team. If we ain't, then we nothing. For a second, I would say delirious for the record. Looking back,
Limp Bizkit dropped their new album, Still Sucks, on Halloween.
Yeah,
and I gotta tell you, it's all caps that title, but I'll tell you, for Limp Bizkit, not that bad. It's got some pretty good songs on there. Is it 12 songs, 30 minutes? Sometimes you realize you got to disconnect your brainstem and listen to some Freddie D. He's got some wisdom. and one of the pieces of wisdom that Fred has is everyone needs some hardcore, fucked up, bang your head shit sometimes. And that person is me.
Yes, absolutely. I've always, you're the only person I know that loves Limp Bizkit, and that is not a cheap shot at somebody who may be listening.
Loves? So. Loves?
Yeah, you're the biggest Limp Bizkit fan I know.
Oh, good. Well, I'll just tell you, go back to Golden Cobra and listen to the title track. Pretty good. Yeah. Came out 10 years ago.
That's bad.
But let's talk about some other music. Maybe will it make my top 10 of the year? That's what people want to know.
Ooh, yeah, we got that coming up. So, yeah, we'll hold on. I'm going to just basically hold my breath until then. So now I will say this. There is a side of you that likes things that you're afraid to actually throw out and admit. I mean.
Oh, no.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Well, that whole exchange at Rockin' Pod where you threw me under the bus of, oh, no, he's the only guy that doesn't like Winery Dogs. I love them because you're in front of Winery Dog fans and you can't stand by your own opinion. I did not know for the longest time that you had any like of Local H. But once Aaron Camaro made it okay to talk to, suddenly that's, yeah. And by the way, I would embrace all these oddities about you. I think you need to just put it out there. I'm LC Fox. I love Limp Bizkit.
It's fine. I also like Michael McDonald. Is it okay?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Can I do the rest of the episode in my Michael McDonald impersonation?
Please, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'll do my best as we go on.
See? Not too bad. I'm already liking you better just from hearing that tone.
If you don't take this Michael McDonald DVD that you've been playing for 2 years straight off, I'm going to kill everyone in the store and put a bullet in my brain.
David, what do you suggest we play?
I don't care. Anything. I would rather watch Beautician and the Beast. I would rather listen to Fran Drescher for 8 hours than have to listen to Michael McDonald. Nothing against him, but if I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
So, speaking of great musical, just in general, just great music in general, you recently had a trip to a town that's known for putting out great music like Limp Bizkit Still Sucks. And what is that town?
Yeah, I went to Seattle last week. My wife and I, for our anniversary, took a trip out west.
Very
cool. I heard that, it's just sunny, a lot of good beaches. Great time of year to weather-wise to be in the Pacific Northwest. But no, yeah, sure. We took a trip to Seattle, so it was fun.
Nice. Is that all you got? Is that your anecdote?
You wanted an anecdote? It was good. Good times.
Okay. I can tell why you're a podcaster. You're a master of your craft.
Picture. Yeah. To elaborate a little more, basically doing the grunge thing. I think it was when I was talking to Mark Yarm, it started to dawn on me that, it would actually be a worthwhile trip for me to someday make it out to Seattle. I didn't really have a timetable on it. But, my sister happens to live out there as well. She moved there a few years back. There was the connection where, she could haul us around and things of that nature to some of the, because we stayed downtown not too far. There's a thing called Pike's Peak Market, if people are not familiar with the layout there. But we were about four blocks from that. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, that I wanted to do was in the walking distance. You know what I mean? Even the touristy shit, like the Space Needle was like a 10-minute walk. So
nice.
Yeah. But, you know, there was shit that was a little further out. And my sister drove us around to that. Like, we went to the steps. We went to the apartment where everybody lived in the movie Singles. I got a picture on the steps there. And then
trespassing?
Or is this probably loud? A little bit. Yeah, I mean, couldn't do too much there. You know what I mean? That was actually fairly low on my list. It was like, if we have time. And my sister just, you know, I told her the things I wanted to do so she could kind of map it out and kind of get an idea where it is, you know, from where we're going to be. And yeah, we just had a couple hours between, basically we did it the day we did Mopop Museum. We went to Mopop, and then our tickets for the Space Needle were a couple hours after we were done with that. So we just kind of quick zipped over there. Yeah, we kind of double parked the car, ran out. You can't really tell in the picture, but it was raining when we took it and the steps were wet. My wife is sitting on my hand to keep her ass dry, and I'm doing my best to just sit right on the edge, so I just get that little bit of wet. But, nice. You know, it was like, quick, Julie, take the picture, and boom, 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 we're on our way. But the first thing, though, I did was we went to a place called Easy Street Records. Oh, go ahead. Did you have something you want to interject?
No, I was just going to say, this is very similar to when we were staying in Boulder, that I trespassed and took a picture on where Mork and Mindy used to live.
I don't remember seeing that picture.
Well, I'll share it with you.
I can't wait.
Almost the same thing.
Yeah, honestly, it is. But anyway, right after we landed, my sister ran us out to a place called Easy Street Records that I wanted to check out. Now, that's got some history with being a shop that a lot of the bands would put their merch in or sell. It is weird, too, when I went in there, like, they actually have, like, tabs that say, like, Pearl Jam, you know, just in the... You know, as you're going through the CDs and you see the Pearl Jam tab, it actually says local next to it. You know,
like, that's pretty cool. Like, that's why I wanted to jump in, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Was the inspiration for the trip partly for doing the whole Nevermind series and then kind of wanting color behind all the history? Because that was a ton of research and, you know, all the time. Or was that already in on your mind previous?
No, it definitely doing that series kind of highlighted that, like, the weird thing is, like, I thought I'd be out there at some point because my sister moved out there. That was
sure.
That was as close as it came to me ever thinking about going to Seattle. But no, going through that, yeah, like I said, I think it was when I was talking to Mark Yarm, because his book covers a lot. You know, it's an oral history with a lot of different people chiming in. And there's just all these places. Then, yeah, you start hearing some of these references repeat through different guests that we had on or you know, some of the music. So, yeah, it was a huge influence on that, you know. Now, it was our anniversary trip, so it had to be something that, you know, my wife would also be just as into. So she likes the music stuff, but she also collects Pops. And the Funko Pop headquarters is just about 30 minutes north of Seattle.
Okay, so that was part of it, too. And I saw that you got your own.
Oh, right. Yeah. We got our own Pops. You can have those
pretty
made
cool
right
looking.
There in the store, but
yeah. How long does it take? Like, if you say, like, I want a Baco and a Toots Pop, how long is the process? They basically just, like, grab one that wears cargo pants or cargo shorts.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, basically from you designing it to when it's done, it's about 20 minutes.
Holy shit.
But yeah, it's less impressive when you see how it's done, because everything's right there. You don't actually see them assemble it, but it's like this bin of heads, this bin of hair, this bin of arms, you know, torsos and stuff like that. So yeah, you can pick, you know, you can customize it pretty specific. I don't know if you can see it in the picture, but I actually have a little gray cat as my
Ooh.
Buddy in mine. So yeah,
that's nice.
That's my boy, Pep Pep. He didn't seem to give a shit when I showed it to him, though. It's like, he's like,
no.
what are you even doing here, man? So
yeah, no, I understand. That's cool. you have your own Pop, you and the wife, and you can say that you're assembled in the U.S.
There we go. Hey, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, probably not made here, but mm-hmm. assembled.
No.
Yes. I'm like I'm an automobile from.
Right.
Yeah. So
exactly. I love it. I love it. But yeah. But, okay. That's cool. So I guess my question was on the trip. Because I've never, for example, I've never researched London and then gone to London or whatever like that, like and like been into it. Like I've done, for in my perspective, it would be the same thing as doing this huge like school project or whatever like that for 2 years, which is essentially what it was, all this research. And then all of a sudden, boom, this is what the place actually is. Because I can't think of any specific area that has spawned in one town, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that zone that has spawned so many like landmark albums, period, whether you love grunge or not, right? So what did you – I guess my – like that's my long-winded version of asking a question of what was it like – going there, knowing the history of that.
You know, I'm glad that I had that behind me as opposed to just going out and visiting my sister and not thinking about it, because I did – basically, I made a list of places that I would – I at least had some cursory interest. A lot of these are just places that I could kind of stand outside and look at, you know what I mean? Like the Moore Theater, some of these clubs, things of that nature, you know, or a door to a rehearsal room. But so I rated everything from a 1 to a 5, and I was able to do everything with a 4 or a 5 rating except for one thing, and that was this thing called Black Forge, which is just a rehearsal room door. It's still painted with the same painting that it was – whoever – I don't know if the bands did it or not, but it still looks the same it did as when Soundgarden and Pearl Jam would rehearse there. But it's not a rehearsal space anymore. There's really nothing you can do besides take a picture of it. So even though that was a 4, that probably was the least important of the 4, because – again, if it was within a few blocks of where I was staying, I would have definitely got it. But it was, you know, it wasn't near anything that we were going to. So it just wasn't worth a special trip to take a picture of a door. But that Easy Street Records, though, was really important to me because it has that mural of it's a painting of Chris Cornell. And the next to that is one of Andrew Wood from Mother Love Bone. The Mother Love Bone one is a recreation of an original mural by the bassist Jeff Ament. And he actually came out and redid it and painted the one that's on this store, I don't know, a few years back. So,
okay.
So that was kind of cool. And then the record store was pretty badass. Now, I didn't really buy any music. I bought a T-shirt, some stickers, and a new pad for my turntable, new turntable pad.
Okay.
But that was, you know.
Of what?
Of for their record store. It's like a dartboard, and it has, you know, it names the record store, and then it has all the Seattle bands. Everything okay. From who's that fat rapper, the Big Butts guy?
Oh, of course. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
So it goes as deep as that. He's on there, sure. As well. Not just grunge is all I'm getting at, Heart and things of that nature. Although
it has War Babies on there?
It did not have War Babies or Chris Cross or Queensryche. But I did look for the War Babies CD there because it's one that's maybe a little easier to find. But
okay.
I didn't
know. Probably still haven't sold them.
Yeah.
They've been sitting there.
That was what I was banking on. But no, they did not have a copy. That's one of the ones. There's a handful that I still look at every time I go anywhere used. But I really thought maybe I'd find it there. But that was the only record shop I went into, though. Again, not really. There's a lot of really good record, you know, shopping I can do here that I just didn't really. I didn't make a point of that.
I guess the only other place I would think of is if you were a huge classic country aficionado, it would be Nashville. I just can't think of any other town that's like a music town.
Yeah, because like Los Angeles, it's largely people going there. You know what I mean?
Right. There's the Sunset Strip. Like when I went to the Sunset Strip, I didn't get anything from like, okay, this is exactly what it looked like. And I'm saying like, it didn't do anything for me. I went to the Whiskey A Go-Go and that was about it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I could.
Now the Mopop Museum, which was one of the highlights of the trip, has a lot of music stuff in it. Now it's a pop culture museum. So there's horror movies, science fiction stuff, and you know, it's a lot of props that are actually from the, like, you know, they had one of the lightsabers from the first Star Wars, things of that nature, you know what I mean? All throughout the thing, but there is a section on Nirvana. They have their own little room. There's a section on guitars, and basically these are just like a lot of famous people guitars, you know, local to worldwide. So it isn't, the museum is not dedicated just to Seattle or the Pacific Northwest, but it does have exhibits very much for that. Like there's a Hendrix room that is, you know, he's from the area there. There's a hip hop, you know, history of hip hop exhibit that's there, like in a video game thing. But the prize for me was the Pearl Jam exhibit, which is a temporary one. My understanding is that it ends sometime in 2022. But right when the elevator is open, that's on the third floor for whatever that matters. But once the elevator doors open, the first thing you see is that prop from the first album cover, 10, where it's just like the big Pearl Jam logo and pink lighting.
Right.
So it right away, you know, the hairs on your neck start popping like, wow, that's I always thought it was a superimposed photo, but this is the actual thing they made. I think Jeff Ament made that, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. So for the album cover, they actually got in front of a huge like painting or whatever the background is for the album cover.
I'm not sure what the substrate is, but to me it looked like plywood that's painted, cut out the Pearl Jam, and then it's just lit. So I'm pretty sure just the actual logo is what they used. I mean, obviously the album cover wasn't shot there, so they're just recreating the lighting and stuff that they, you know. But yeah, so I had to, of course, you know, recreate the photo the best I could with my wife. But
sure, yeah, no, I saw it. It's awesome.
And then there's like a little room where they just play. It's almost like that Sirius XM Pearl Jam channel, where, but except for they don't play full shows. They play this song and they move to a different one while they have a giant screen that kind of just flashes through photos of the history of the band, everything from backstage. Pictures that maybe people wouldn't see, or to live performance photos, things of that nature. So we sat in there for, I don't know, maybe about a song and a half worth. But then the rest of the exhibit, which is pretty sprawling, is just random artifacts from their career. If you're a fan, I don't know what more you could do. To me, it reminded me a lot of Paisley Park. It's not quite as big, but there's just so much that you can take in. If you like, there's like their T-shirts are just everywhere. Like they have just a wall here, and then further down you run into another wall. Things like that, tour books, instruments, all sorts of stuff. You know what I mean? And then also including some of the history before the band. You know, with Mother Love Bone, Rock Candy. I can't remember what Mike McCready's band was, but they had like a little display of him before Pearl Jam. With a like an Iceman, Paul Stanley Iceman guitar, things of that nature.
Huh. But,
yeah. And then of course, giant size Funko Pops of each member.
did they really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now, I'm trying to think, is that a traveling? So it actually goes around?
I don't like believe so. No, I think this was just set up for
temporary, as in temporary, just there and it's done.
Yeah, that's my understanding, but who knows? You know, it got extended because of COVID. So, you know, that it worked out in our benefit, because, boy, if you don't know about it and you don't see it, you probably don't think about it. But, man, now that I've been through it, I couldn't imagine making this trip and not being able to take that in. That was probably, music-wise, the highlight, even though it was like a new exhibit, but it was history. You just kind of shoved into a giant room, you know, and so it was cool.
Okay. Did they have a section just called the boring period, which is called no code, and you just like blast through it real quick?
Yeah, that was closed off.
that just says like doubt closed for non-interest.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I definitely, if you're a music fan and you're going to Seattle, you got to check out the Mopop Museum. It's about $30. It's definitely worth it.
Before you close up all this and wrap it up, but is there any band that's still active that has their own fucking exhibit museum that you can go check out? Can you think of any?
Man,
that's
I mean, Kiss. I don't know why Kiss doesn't. Why don't they have like they? I get they kind of did that on the Kiss convention, but I get your point. Yeah, they're really it is kind of incredible. And the thing is, like, I'm just now starting to get into the post-Vitalogy stuff and kind of sample some of those things. I've always kept up a little bit on it. And like I said, I think I've mentioned that I do like that Lightning Bolt record, which is somewhat new.
Yeah.
Gigaton, I don't know. It was, but that between Lightning Bolt and Vitalogy, I'm just now, you know, when I see those used, I'll pick one up. I like that Avocado record.
Yeah, that one's pretty, that's what brought me back in. No, but that's the one that brought me back in, like, okay. 2006 or whatever. That was, I was like, oh, I forgot. These guys still fucking can pull it off, you know? But there was an odd sprawling period for them. But with that said, I know that's going to make some people's head explode for purists, but the there's a band that there's a handful of bands that really do it right. And I'll just say and also it is odd to think that Pearl Jam is the only one that doesn't have that has survived as in still alive as far as the band members.
Right.
You know? The majority of it, you know, all lead singers dead.
Yeah, the only lead singer of the big four there left
is Vedder.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there. But as far as things do it right, I'll just use two. I think that as far as bands that understand their fans and give the fans what they both want and deserve is Metallica and Pearl Jam. As far as an archive of every fucking, you know, live show that you want to hear, like the whole... Varied set lists on tour from active. I'm talking about active bands and things like that.
I think that's a great comparison because, you know, they both also, like, when they do new material, it seems like they're incapable of releasing anything that isn't going to, you know, be debated by the fan base. It's like, it's great. It's horrible. It's like, you know, with every record, you know, myself included, you know what I mean? I feel, you know, have pretty strong reactions to every Metallica release. So,
there you go. But still, like, the varied set lists, the creativity. Yes, yes. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, just in general, and the fact that they had this exhibit where you can, if you're someone like yourself, that can go and check that out. It sounds like this was done in a very high quality way. And that's very rare, is all I'm saying. Especially definitely, from an active band.
I don't know for certain, but this feels like the band itself, or at least a member or two, were heavily involved in what was given, what was displayed, and how it was put together, and, you know, what was included, what wasn't, that kind of thing. And, you know, I appreciate that, especially considering how much they put out there. But you know, on a smaller level, Clutch comes to mind as a band that kind of really delivers for their fan base as far as, like, you know, if you're into Clutch, I think they do a lot of stuff between their live shows, their records, and then even I thought they were one of the better bands taking advantage of the live streams during COVID. So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just good to see that. And okay, cool. Well, in general, like, would you say that this kind of reinforced kind of a year and a half of your life and
sure,
who knows
how
many weeks of recording and editing, you know, for the whole, you know, that pretty much is. I think that there should be a whatever, never mind, fucking exhibit sometime in the future, where it just has all everything in there, and then it keeps but it's an exhibit that keeps growing. What say?
Yeah, it is almost its own.
You've got your own Funko Pop too. Why not?
Yeah,
right.
I need one that's like 5 feet tall.
I
appreciate that. Yeah, no, it definitely. It all ties together and kind of makes me feel a little more proud of that whole thing. Honestly, it was the reaction of some of the people that came up to me in Rockin' Pod this last summer that made me start thinking a little more. You know, I was just like, was this really? Yeah, I mean, maybe it was, because I was just I was just in the moment having fun the whole time. But no, it set me back, and it humbled me a little bit and made me feel good about something I put into the world. So, and this, to your point, absolutely, it did. It definitely did. So,
and I'll tell you this much: this has inspired me that I am finally going to do my version of Whatever Mine, but strictly focus on the War Babies.
Ah, man, can you stretch the War Babies into a year?
It'll be a whole background of each song, each 12, one of the 12 songs on the album. It'll spread out. There'll be interviews with, I'm looking to get the lowest ratings possible.
Maybe you can finally get Paul Stanley on, huh? We can get him on.
Ooh, yes,
and,
that's right.
It's like, tell us about writing with the War Babies, and he's like, I don't remember.
Yeah. So that's all I got. Very cool trip. Anything else you want to add?
No. I just, it's good to be back. Good to be talking to you, man. That's about it. Couple things I would like to mention about my trip. I have kind of a good, bad, and ugly, if you will indulge me.
Okay.
All right. The good is Alaska Airlines. They still have, like, they haven't squished the seats to where basically, like, someone 6 feet or taller, you basically, if anybody reclines that eighth of an inch back, you're mm-hmm. now basically having that person sit on your lap. They still have normally spaced seats. So much, you know what stood out besides the knee space was that the window was actually lined up with the row of seats. Because they've kind of shrunken the gaps on all, you know, like Delta and all that stuff.
Right, right.
So you basically have a window seat, but you either have to crane ahead to just look out to the side of the seat ahead of you or behind you, because the way they've done it, only like every 10th seat actually lines up with the window. So, Alaska Airlines, I highly recommend it. What do you think, Gene Simmons?
The minutia of it all. People don't see that.
Kudos to Alaska Airlines, and I really did enjoy Seattle. Gene, have you ever been to Seattle?
I would have no problem moving here.
Wonderful airline, and took off on time, arrived just a little early, so nothing but
nice.
5 stars.
Speaking of 5 stars, if I could just put in a quick request for reviews for our show.
We don't ask for that enough. Please, yes, if you do like and listen to the show, please give us reviews anywhere you can find them. Facebook, Apple Podcasts. Help me out here. Podchaser.
No, just anywhere that you find it convenient to throw up some thoughts and some feedback is greatly appreciated. The number of listens do not correlate at all to the number of reviews that we have out there, and probably because we don't make a concerted effort like most podcasts to hit you for those in the beginning and the end of the episodes. We just that's it. Just get some instant karma out there. That's all we want for Christmas, for this holiday season, is some reviews. Continue, please.
Okay, and then the bad would be Delta Airlines for the exact opposite reason. It was just a cramped, tight, and just a horrible boarding process. Here's a question. Now, I know the first class people like to be reminded how important they are, but doesn't everybody just want to get on the plane as quick as possible and exit the plane as quick as possible, right?
Yeah,
I don't understand the boarding policies at all, other than people who need extra assistance going first. You know what I mean? Other than that, I think you just board from the back to the front. It makes no sense the way they do it. So, other than that, you know, because like, oh, but if you have our credit card, you get to board early, things of that nature. I don't know. I mean,
it happens all the time, man. I know what you're saying. Like, I see it gets more aggravated. The more exceptions for people getting on early boarding mm-hmm. and everything, it happens.
And it's stupid.
Like, I think last time I was like, who here has a dog? Like,
yeah.
And then you get to go first.
And you know what? How about charge for the carry-on and check the bag for free? Again, these aren't money-making ideas, so the airlines will not be using them. All right, and then the ugly. I have a buddy, Dale. I've mentioned him, I think, once on this show here. He is the guy who is so into music. He thought Heard It Through the Grapevine was a song by the California Raisins for the Hardee's commercials. So he's not a music guy. He's a simple, small-town...
he likes Hardee's, though.
Yes, he does. He likes Hardee's and Mountain Dew.
It's American.
After ever, no. After commenting on a couple posts that I shared on Facebook, and the point there is, once he knew I was in Seattle, it's like he was reminded he had to ask me a question that needed an answer. And so I'm going to say the ugly is like, come on, man, you know I'm on fucking vacation. It's like, hey, can we get together on November 13th? I don't fucking know. You know I'm in Seattle. I don't have Amy's work calendar with me. Jesus fucking Christ. You know, so fuck you, Dale. That's all I got to say. Fuck you. So
wow. All right.
And hey, since
we're at a five-star review, please, Dale.
I don't know that he could find his way around it. He'd probably be confused by the process, you know.
Yeah. 5 stars to Cobras and Fire and the California Raisins.
And I'm comfortable saying all this because there's no chance he's ever going to listen.
I understand.
Yeah. So yeah, no up problem. Yours, Dale. I can't wait till you go on vacation. I'm going to be texting you nonstop with very specific, detailed questions. So anyway, it's all good. It wasn't that big a deal. But hey, let's get into what we're going to use for this week's question of the week.
Let me ask you a question.
Let me ask you a question.
I've got a question for you.
I threw out there on social media before I left. I don't know if you saw this, but I put it on both Twitter and Facebook. But it was like, who would you say played the role of Jason Voorhees in our radio play of Friday the 13th Part 6? Because
absolutely did a great job.
Yeah,
that person.
As you know, not once said a word. So, Anyway, if it's all right, I'll get into the Twitter responses.
Sure.
So the question is, I'll say it like this: for our latest episode, who played Jason? For our latest episode, who played Jason Voorhees? Answers will be read in a future episode. So here's the answers we got on Twitter. Jay Zablowski said Bob Hope. Decibel Geek came in with an answer that means a lot to
me. Fresh reference.
Yes, fresh. Yeah. Decibel Geek came in with Steve.
Always a winner.
Yeah, always a winner, Steve. Bill Elam came in with Thabo, and that is a Kiss Room reference. So. Go listen to the Kiss Room. Check out, join their group on Facebook, and within a week, you'll know who Thabo is.
Very negative.
A guy named Casey Miller, just someone I'm not familiar with. So thanks for commenting, Casey. Aaron Camaro. So I thought that was a good guess.
Mm.
And Stephen Michael may have won Twitter with his. He just said super easy, Mitch Malloy.
Oh God! Yes. That is, I think that's the winner right there.
All right, I have the Facebook one pulled up. You just want me to hammer through them?
Please do.
All right, Neil Hansen, the same guy who does the voice of Michael Myers. That's clever. Yeah. Ivan Galasic came in with the same thing that Decibel Geek did over on Twitter. Is that Steve? Todd Cunningham, he actually had a couple here. He hits us with two. His first one is Mr. Rogers. Kind of abstract. And then I kind of like this next one. I'm not really sure why, but my old shop teacher.
Okay, that might be the winner if there is anything more.
Oh, God, I got two more. Stephen Stacy said Marie, and then in, I don't know, he put it in quotes, colander. And Sean Gollin only hints at the Stephen Michael response, and he says that one guy who was briefly in Van Halen. So, thanks, everybody, for chiming in. Look for a regular question of the week to return next for our next episode. But, yeah, this is good stuff.
I'm going with the winner being Steve, my old shop teacher.
Yeah, my favorites were my old shop teacher, of course.
Or Mitch Malloy, my old shop
Steve
teacher.
Steve and Mitch Malloy, yeah. And,
there you go.
So, yeah. But you know what? We're all winners here, though. We're all winners here at Cobras and Fire.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Appreciate the input.
Yes, yeah.
And here's the other thing. Google us those comments. If you had time to do that, give us a 5-star review. What do you say?
Hey!
Yeah, till the day.
a couple Kiss items to wrap up the show with. The first one I want to get into, I don't think you even heard this, and I'm not sure that the audio clip is still out there. It was a recording, clearly a secret recording, that Ace's ex-girlfriend Rachel Gordon threw up on YouTube, and in the middle of it, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell with Ace because he has kind of a sloppy delivery. I don't know if he was, you know, under any influence or if he was just, this is how Ace talks now. I probably shouldn't speculate on that. But
what year is it?
Well, it's while they were dating. So I don't, again, it may have said on the recording, but I'm not sure that it did.
10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, somewhere, let's say between 5 and 15 years.
It's a good range.
So, yeah, Ace goes into this rant about how Jews stink. And they smell bad. And it is like, it's one of those, like, old man racist dipshit kind of like, you know, things that you equate to somebody, you know, based solely on just stupid speculation from, like, I don't know, a history of hating a group of people. I don't know if I'm describing that, but yeah, he goes on to say, and she tries to defend him. You can't say that. You don't know that all Jews. It's like I do know. And anyway, the whole thing I just thought was it's a little sad as a Kiss fan when this stuff comes out. But there's just something also kind of funny, and not in a good way. But it's just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, I don't even understand, like, the motivation behind sharing these thoughts. How did it come up? Hey, dinner's great. Also, Jews stink.
All I know is that Rachel has an archive of gold.
She has. I'm guessing this is just the tip of the iceberg. But
yeah.
But that, you know, to me, that says a little bit about her character, too, that you're even thinking about this shit. You know, why are you with somebody that you feel you need to secretly record at all unless you think you're going to use this to blackmail him at some point?
Yeah, she sounds like a real catch. I can only imagine the what would happen to my life if any of my be it my wife or ex-girlfriends had recordings of just my rambling thoughts.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd be toast. You know, I'll, you know, there's part of me that really wishes we could joke about race and have, because you know, there is some really ridiculous humor that you can do about it. But it's, you know, like Dave Chappelle was great at balancing that line of kind of getting out there too far. Now, he's recently gotten himself in some trouble for some other stuff. So we're at that point now where I don't know. I don't want to get too big.
But here's the thing. I think we can have fun with it because here's the thing. I think that all Ace is basing his research on is being on a tour bus with, you know, Paul and Gene, which is confusing because if I'm on a tour bus with Paul or Gene, I either think that Jews smell like pomegranate body wash, Paul, or use Twinkie wrappers, Gene.
I always imagine Gene smelling like, I don't know, cream cheese that's gone bad. And
is
a bagel.
What you think it is?
He's like an everything bagel and spoiled cream cheese. Like what kind of, basically that's when he sweats, I assume that's what's coming out.
Yeah. And I mean, if you were to also,
you get in the early days when they're actually riding in a car together. Ace probably couldn't tell which one it was that stunk. So he was like, just assuming it was the Jews.
yeah. And it turns out that on further research, you know, that Italians stink. It was Peter. What do you think Peter smells like? Besides confusion and failure.
It's like that smell you get when you don't know how to set the DVR, the VCR clock. Peter still has a VCR, and
oh, absolutely. No, Betamax, motherfucker. Betamax.
No, Betamax is too early. He got into the VCR game, definitely not cutting edge.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he got one in the late 80s. He still uses it, and that clock always flashes 12. He's never been able to set it. He can't program it. That's what Peter smells like, is a flashing clock on a VCR.
Yeah, I think his body odor is out of sync. Yeah,
I mean, you don't think he smells like too much cologne?
Yeah, you know he doesn't reprogram his clocks because he can't keep time.
He smells like brute Fabergé.
Ooh,
like a lot of brute.
A lot,
yes.
Mostly because he got a didn't. Oh, you know what? Didn't Kiss have Kiss cologne at some point?
Oh yeah, I got a bottle upstairs.
Oh my God,
we got the his and hers. I got the pit stick and. There's some after shower splash. It's basically another fucking perfume, but
okay.
Yeah, what a fucking crock of shit that was. That's $50 I'll never get back. So
wow, why did you do that again? Did you get an autograph? Was that what the scam was?
No, I just bought it. Actually, I bought Amy the hers for Christmas, and she got me the his. So it wasn't even like something that I sought out. I actually, it was kind of a joke because I was like, when I opened mine, she hadn't opened hers yet, and we both came up with the same lazy gift to give each other.
yeah. But I think anything else on this ace random comment?
No, it's sadly not too surprising. You know, Paul's made some comments about Paul has made comments in the past. You're referring to Ace as some sort of anti-Semite and stuff like that. And now we get into the area that
anti-Semite.
Yeah,
anti-Semite.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's definitely not an anti-Semite. He would definitely take Sammy up on anything that Sammy would throw his way.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, Sammy doesn't stink. He's not one of those stinky Jews.
God, Sammy looks like somebody that might stink.
Yeah, he smells like rum and sand.
Right, that's what I mean.
And probably BO. Doesn't it look like he like doesn't like maybe shower a lot? I don't know. Now we're getting off track here.
No, I mean, you could definitely tell when Sammy and Michael Anthony have left the room, was left behind, you know?
Yeah, because the buffet table's empty, and and it smells a little better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but two guys I do not want to be trapped in an elevator too long with.
Smells, Kiss Cruise 10 has sailed and has returned to port.
I'm curious to hear the recap from Joe Polo to find out if he made it to the UPS store okay this time. I know last time he had some trouble, but say this. I think as far as diehard Kiss fans, my two favorite have to be Joe Polo and Julian Gill. Just because, you know, there's so many Kiss fans, like the guys who host that show about the number of sides of coins, that they just seem to only have that kind of smug luck. But Julian Gill and Joe Polo seem to have the kind of luck I had as a Kiss fan when it comes to, like, tracking down and finding things. So they just seem more like regular, real people to me than some of those guys that I might be floating around in the ocean with. But okay. I'm sure whatever his experience was, he'll be sharing it on an upcoming episode of podcast. So.
Yeah. And like we we like to do. I just want to give a quick synopsis of something that we didn't attend. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We are the inventors of this, no matter what the Shout Out Loud cast will have you believe.
Yes. Other.
Oh, they were on the cruise this year, by the way. Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah. Fellow Pantheoners. Yeah. Yes. And I heard their recap, and I just want to just have a few comments on some things.
So we're actually taking it next level. We're commenting on an event we didn't go to based on the coverage of people who were there, and we're using their show as reference point.
I see. All right. I'm giving credit when credit is due.
And I thought we broke ground with the dramatic reading of Friday the 13th. Now, nope. We're taking this podcast where no show has gone before.
No, this is like the phone game where reality gets distorted. This is like that copy of that. You know, when you got the recording of, you know what? This segment is going to have the sound quality of Gene Simmons' vault when you're hearing 10th generation recordings of demos that he doesn't own.
Only 300 left, people. Go to rhino.com to get one of them for $500 now. No experience.
Mm-hmm. No experience, just $500 and a box of CDs. What do you think?
Oh, my God. I wonder, I probably couldn't. I could take all my CDs and throw them in a box, and I couldn't get $500 for them right now.
No, absolutely not.
To get $500 for 11? Come on. And how about that dumb little doll of him, like in a suit? Like, what?
I saw some comment in the group that I enjoy, I Am Vinyl. Somebody posted it and said, I know this is not vinyl, but I want you to let you know it. And somebody's like, man, it's a little too steep, but I'm really enticed about getting this. I'm like, dude, you don't know what's on that thing. What's on that thing is bootlegs of bootlegs of bootlegs of stuff that somehow he got downloaded off the internet of revenge recordings.
Yeah.
It's just so bad, right? Yeah. It just blows my mind.
No effort made to restore any of that stuff or find... original generation bullshit. This guy's been keeping this stuff. If he does, he's been keeping it like in a bucket underwater. It's just right. Like these things sound like fucking shit, Gene.
What's the basics of what you would want to have on a Kiss cruise besides the experience and going there and hanging out with your fellow fans and things like that? But from Kiss as a minimum, what are you looking for?
Okay, performance-wise? You're saying like setting aside my personal issues with Paul's voice, things of that nature.
Taking all that out.
From what I've seen, I think it does a very good job. I love the layout and the look of the whole thing. Every time I see these pictures, that gives me a little bit of FOMO. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I come back to Earth and realize this event isn't for me. But if it was, I've already done an article on the songs they should not play on the Kiss cruise. Okay. And basically, if they adhered to that, Paul, Gene, reach out to me. I'll just put together the set list for you. Actually, I think a really fun idea, it's too late to do it, is if they would have done one album at a time. You know what I mean? Play the whole album.
Even though it's not really my thing. Extra stuff.
Because now, they would be like at the music from The Elder, either this tour or the next one. You know what I mean? So it'd be fun for me to see if they skip it.
I see what you're saying.
But no, that to me, that would be kind of cool. Or if you just did a different album each night that they perform. But I think that would probably piss some fans off because I think you're only guaranteed one full show of Kiss. But
right. But in general, like there was I think Creatures of the Sea was the theme one time, and this year was Psycho Circus. That was the theme, I think, right?
Yeah.
But I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I'm going to give you what Kiss's set list is.
Real quick, before you get into that, can I say what I don't want?
What?
All those other bands. I don't care. This is a Kiss cruise. I really don't understand why Black and Blue's on there. And to me, that's what Monsters of Rock cruise should be about. But this is a Kiss cruise. Just keep everything relative to Kiss. I like Bruce Kulick or Ace Frehley coming on. That kind of stuff is neat. But I don't need fucking Steel Panther. I would have checked out Sebastian Bach if he had had a valid passport and was able to get on the boat. Apparently, his passport had expired and he missed the boat, so...
I still say it was Doc McGee.
He intentionally expired his passport.
No, he scheduled the cruise after he knew his passport was going to expire to make him look dumb.
Yeah. If only there was something Sebastian could have done to avoid that.
I know. I think that they finally invited him on the cruise after Doc McGee went to his wallet and saw his passport was expired and knew that this would end up this way.
Or it's a convenient excuse because of Doc's recent comments, maybe a more likely conspiracy would be that Sebastian was like, fuck that. You know, fuck him, fuck Kiss, fuck all this. And then he just says, you know what? My passport is expired. So,
yeah, could be. You never know. But anyway, so I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised, though, with the set list that Kiss put together for Kiss Cruise 10. It took them 9 cruises to get it right. But I'm just going to read it off. If you want to comment throughout it, it's all up to you.
Okay.
Okay. So on show 1, they hit the stage and open up with Exciter.
Hmm.
Go into Unholy, All Hell's Breaking Loose, Tears Are Falling, Larger Than Life, All American Man, Thou Shalt Not, Radar for Love, Who Wants to Be Lonely, Let's Put the X in Sex, You Make Me Rock Hard, Oof, Domino, Jungle, Forever, A Medley of Secretly Cruel, All Night, and Trial by Fire, Paralyzed, I Just Wanna, Spit, Nowhere to Run, Into Tonight You Belong to Me, Goodbye, off of Paul Stanley's solo album, yep. And they end with God Gave
Thanks
Rock
for the
and
clarification.
Roll to You. Yeah, no problem. Here to help.
Oh, yeah, that's non-makeup heavy. I think I saw a different set list, so maybe it was a different night. But I only counted like 3 songs that shouldn't be in there. But anyway, yeah, that would be a vast improvement over what they've typically done.
Yeah, but yeah. So whose set list is that?
That's got to be Bruce Kulick's, right?
Yeah.
I've liked everything he's done on the cruise that I've gotten to see or hear, or just like you said, that's a great fucking set list. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like what he brings. That's kind of special. I wouldn't want to get rid of that. You know what I mean? So that's pretty cool. I did see Kiss's set list for the first 2 nights. I think each set had between 6 and 7 songs that I think just got to be. You just don't play like the Love Guns, Detroit Rock City, Rock and Roll Nights. Just leave those at the dock when you go. I mean, don't take them on the boat with you, man. But it would be nice if they took the Bruce Kulick approach to put in the set list. And like I said, there's 15 to 20 songs they should just leave on the, you know, back at home while they take this cruise. You know, you got diehard fans, give them what they want. But if I keep harping on this, I really am just banging the same old drum. My thoughts on this are clear. I don't know that I need to go too much further on it.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. But what I'm looking at is that, first off, it's Kiss Cruise 10. We're 10 years deep into this right now. These guys are older. The set lists keep getting shorter. It used to be like 20 or 20 songs. Now they're like 15 songs. The Sail Away show went from an acoustic to an electric, okay, which I think is kind of interesting. They did.
No, I didn't put that together. That is interesting.
What is
that? They went from acoustic to electric. I wonder if
for the sail away, like, yeah, a couple. I think it was like 2. At least the last couple have been electric, which I think is a better way to do it. But this year, I just want to give you a set list on that one. And that was more of a, I guess, rarity ish. But they kicked off. Now imagine you're on the boat. They're sailing away, and they go, okay, we're gonna kick this motherfucker off. They open with Going Blind. Which the
electric,
yeah, shout out loud.
You know, I don't know that I've ever seen him perform that electric.
No.
Acoustic, obviously, but anyway.
But that's, so that's kind of neat, but it's a weird opening track. And the Shout Out Loud cast really hammer that home. It's just like, you know, you're on a boat, you're in your festive gear, and it's just an odd opening song. But the electric
so you
one,
moved
they hit,
from
they,
stealing from Pods and Sods, now you're taking direct material from Shot. Hey, you know what? You credited them. That's all.
Credit them. Yeah. Give me a break. Go listen to the latest episode. I just think that's the one observation I'm putting directly on there from their show. But then they go to Plaster Caster. Again, electric. I don't think I've heard that electric
before. So 2 Gene songs.
Mm-hmm. Good point. They go to Got to Choose, Love Her All I Can, Shock Me, Christine 16, Tears Are Fallen. They bring out Bruce for that, as well as For No Apparent Reason, Heaven's on Fire, they do with Bruce. Hmm. World Without Heroes, Higher Than Hell, Calling Dr. Love, and Emma She. So just a 12 track Sail Away show. But those used to be longer too. My point is just that, you know, these guys are getting older. I get that. But like the set lists keep shrinking every year too. as far as the number of songs they play, too. Well,
that sea air, that sea air will just tear up
your
throat. Okay. I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, yeah. But listen to that show or others for people that actually went to it. But in general, like, it's just interesting because I would be thrilled mostly with seeing what Bruce Kulick brings, because I just think that's amazing, those set lists he's putting together with. And if they would put, like, you know, just a little more effort like he does into it for the rarities, I just think that would be a... how it should be.
It's probably a little easier for him, too, because he doesn't have to try to get anybody else to play the parts he's playing. He's doing the heavy lifting music-wise, and he can clearly pull it off. And then he has a singer who can still sing, so it's a little little easier.
Understood. Okay. Understood. But, yeah, so I don't know what else to say about that.
You know, a couple things on the Kiss front. Now, there was some news. Their Las Vegas residency was canceled. There's that almost seems karmic with the comments Gene made about David Lee Roth and how he's closing out his career with the residency. I don't know, something kind of subtle there. But also, they do that local record store does an Elderfest every year. I've played it a few years back. I did I basically made a medley of most of the songs in The Elder, and I called it The Elder in 5 minutes, even though it was about 6 minutes.
You know
me, Luce. I'm fast and loose with facts and time. And loose. But yeah, I played that again yesterday. I did not commit. I actually had the time. I just didn't really knuckle down and get ready for this thing till the night before. So I only ended up playing one song, but I thought it turned out pretty good. I did an acoustic performance of Not for the Innocent. I thought that was a bit of a deep track. So maybe Kiss could touch on that and be inspired.
That is the first live performance by any human I've ever heard of that song. One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a great tune,
man. And stuff like that. But yeah, you pulled it off well for 3 hours of prep and everything like that, you know? Or thanks, as you like to say it, when you're on your stool there.
I don't know. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I watched it.
I like if people watch it to the end. At the end, I look like a toddler about to fall off a stool. I don't know. The way the guy cut it, like my arms and legs are all like extended. that was my favorite part. It was like,
cool.
I look like a giant little baby.
But my point is that not even Bruce Kulick had the balls to play that song live. So that was going deeper than Kulick.
Yeah,
that's a new term.
I reached out to a fellow podcaster about maybe joining me next year. So I'll leave that as the tease.
Oh, very cool. I dig it. But yeah, man, what else you got?
Oh, man, that's about it, man. It's good to be back. Good to talk to you. Get things back in the flow here. Yeah, we're getting close to the end of the year, so I guess I should start putting together those year-end episodes and start fucking listing my favorite albums of the year here. Start getting ready for that.
That's right. We will be – just get your wallets ready. We are going to completely curate what you should purchase.
There we go. So I'm looking forward to all that stuff, but we got a little time left, but there's another tease, future episodes here.
Okay, you want to get out of here?
Yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun, but it's time to go.
Rock's not dead.
It just threw out its back sneezing.
And for
they're not all winners, Luce. You know, every now and
then
it's
fine.
It's the Betamax, not the VCR that you're inventing. All right.
Well, that's debatable, though, too. Betamax still superior.
Yes. How did Blu-ray beat out HD DVD?
Yeah. It has HD DVD in the fucking name. Blu-ray is stupid. A stupid name.
Yes, exactly. It's too close to Bluetooth.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.